At the beginning of the pandemic, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act gave states extra federal funding in exchange for continuing coverage for people receiving Medicaid benefits. This was supposed to extend through the end of the public health emergency, but late last year, Congress voted to allow states to begin disenrolling members who are no longer eligible for services starting this spring, even though the public health emergency is set to continue for several more months. This means that millions of people across the country could lose health benefits over the next year. Arizona's Medicaid agency Access estimates that as many as 600,000 people here could be disenrolled. And here to talk to us about what all of this could mean for Arizonans is Will Humble, Executive Director of the Arizona Public Health Association. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
Okay, so why was this done in the first place? Like, who was this designed to help during the pandemic?
Yeah, so the whole idea was, you know, that Congress thought, look, during this public health emergency, you know, starting back in March of 2020, a lot of people are going to be losing their jobs. Remember all the layoffs that happened at the beginning during the stay-at-home orders and things like that. And so we need to provide some extra safety net so that people don't get disenrolled from state Medicaid programs. And they didn't tell states that, you know, to not disenroll. They said, here's some money. If you take it, then you're agreeing not to disenroll people during the public health emergency. So it's an extra safety net, really, is what it was.
And usually people are sort of disenrolled as they get jobs, make more money, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So without the public health emergency, there's a redetermination that happens periodically so that as you get a job, as you make more money, if you get a promotion, then you no longer financially qualify and then you would roll off of that and get on your employer's health insurance. So there's a lot of churn. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think the Medicaid agents, you know, people, Medicaid members are just Medicaid members. No, there's a lot of churn where people go back and forth to jobs on and off of Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So during the public health emergency, there wasn't any churn. And so as a result, Medicaid enrollment increased like a third over these last 3 years.
So did that help a lot of people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's 2.5 million people now enrolled in Medicaid out of, what do we have, 7 point something million people in Arizona. So it's a big chunk of how people get health insurance. And like I said, during the public health emergency, people weren't dropped. Mm-hmm. And so that's what that process of redetermining eligibility is about to start again.
Okay. So let's talk about where we are now. Who is likely to be disenrolled from Medicaid here? Like, who are these 600,000 Arizonans?
Yeah. So they're really in two buckets. 300,000, this is Access's estimate, 300,000 are expected to be no longer financially qualified to be on Medicaid. So like they got a promotion at their job, they got a new job, you know, a spouse got a job, things like that.
Sure.
So it's about 300,000 who they expect no longer will financially qualify. But they're also afraid that there's 300,000 people out there that, for example, moved in the last 3 years. And when they get their letter from Access asking them for additional information, that they might not respond in the 30 days that are, you know, during the response period. So they'll be disenrolled, not because they don't qualify anymore, because they didn't answer the question in time. So the effort is really around, let's find everybody so that everyone has updated addresses. And that's really the grunt work.
So 300,000 people kind of accidentally getting disenrolled would be really, I mean, that would affect them substantially. I'm assuming at some point they would find out they don't have this coverage anymore, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't, like, they'd go to their kid would have an earache or something like that, and they'd go to the doctor and like, well, you don't have Access anymore.
Okay.
Oh, really? Why? So then they have to start they're trying to get every, not just the Access themselves, but the Medicaid health plans, community health centers, get everybody involved to get those addresses updated so as few people are disenrolled because of that lack of communication as possible.
So they don't want people to have this gap in coverage.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So states are supposed to be doing that kind of outreach, like you said. What's Arizona doing? What's this look like here?
So plan A is to do it as many as possible automatically. So Access thinks they're going to be able to redetermine. So remember, there's 2.5 million people that need to get redetermined. Mm-hmm. So they expect 75% to be done automatically. So they have they can tap into, for example, the Social Security database. They can tap into SNAP, it used to be called food stamps. Mm-hmm. So they like By matching up databases, they expect to be able to redetermine about 75% of the 2.5 million automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, that's really good.
Yeah.
That creates a much less of a workload in the end if you can do a whole bunch of people automatically. The remaining 25% of the 2.5 million are going to get letters, you know, saying, please give us an update on your status for your income, for this, for that, the other. And then they're supposed to reply. And that's where the 300, you know, the 600,000 comes from. They expect 300,000 to have gotten jobs and for whatever, you know, no longer financially qualify. And, but they're afraid they're going to miss out. Cause you just think about it. A lot of people moved in the last 3 years,
yeah,
and the letters could be going to like two apartments ago.
Yeah. So theoretically, there are a good chunk of people who are on Medicaid who, you know, could get their health employer, their employer to give them health insurance in that sense?
Yeah. Well, the Affordable Care Act says that if you work more than 30 hours a week, your employer is supposed to offer you health insurance. And so for people that get disenrolled because they no longer qualify, they can, some will just start paying the premium through their employer, right? Their contribution that way. Others will qualify for the federal marketplace on a special enrollment period. So on the marketplace insurance, the open enrollment period ended a couple of weeks ago.
Right, yeah.
But if you're on Medicaid now and you get dropped over the next few months, even if it's not open enrollment, you can still go to the marketplace and get your insurance there. And you know, there's a sliding scale, so there's big subsidies for, you know, if you're 200-300% of poverty, you're going to get a, you know, a pretty sizable subsidy on that premium through the marketplace.
Right. So I was going to ask you about that, like about the working poor in this, essentially. People who are kind of on and off of Medicaid, as you said, it sort of slides. I mean, can the working poor at this point afford to buy health insurance on the open marketplace if they're not going to be able to afford it through their insurer or through their employer or something like that?
Well, I mean, that's what the subsidies are for in the marketplace. So that's sliding. So if you're, let's say, at 200% of poverty, you've got a really generous subsidy. As you get to 400% of federal poverty, then that subsidy is less. And there's different plans. You know, there's gold. Remember, there's gold, bronze, silver, and bronze plans with different kinds of deductibles and different kinds of premiums. So it's important for people that roll off to think carefully. Don't just go for the bronze plan because it has the lowest premium, because it might have a bigger deductible. You got to think about the whole, like, benefit before you make a decision about what to buy in the marketplace.
Yeah. All right. We'll have to leave it there. Will Humble, Executive Director of the Arizona Public Health Association, joining us to talk more about this. Will, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.